Welcome to Parents' Perspective. What's wrong, sweetie? Kelly's mom walked into her bedroom and sat beside her on her bed in the dark.
I don't know,
13-year-old Kelly replied.
Just everything.
Is everything connected with school? Her mom asked.
Oh, I don't know.
She suddenly turned to face her mother.
I guess Dad won't be going to the father-daughter lunch for the Booster Club next week, huh?
No, I'm sorry, honey. I'm sure he's as disappointed as you are, her mom responded.
And the basketball game? Guess that's out, too.
Yes, I'm really sorry.
Yeah, everyone's sorry, but that doesn't change anything. He'll still be gone. Why does he have to do this?
Sweetie, you know that it's his job. He's in the Army, so...
Yes, but why does he have to have a job where he goes away all the time? Maybe one day he'll get hurt or...
She broke into sobs.
What if he doesn't come home?
From a parent's perspective, what should we know about parenting in a military family? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guests have totally different experiences with some of the issues we're hoping to address. Devra Renner is a clinical social worker who works with children and their families in school, community, home, summer camp, and hospital settings. With Julie Bort and Aviva Flock, Devra wrote Mommy Guilt, Learn to Worry Less, Focus on What Matters Most, and Raise Happier Kids. And she is co-founder, along with Aviva Flock, of the website Parentopia.net. She's the mother of two sons and the wife of an active duty officer in the Air Force. She has visited with us before. We're so glad you're back, Devra.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Dr. Doris Durand is a retired military sociologist, formerly with the Walter Reed Institute of Research, determining the effects of deployment on soldiers and their family members. She's the mother of four grown daughters, two in the military, and the wife of a retired Army officer. She's also the proud grandmother of four grandsons. Dr. Durand has also visited Parents' Perspective before. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
What would you say is the biggest challenge military parents face?
It is hard to determine. There are so many challenges facing Army parents or military parents. The separation that is caused within the family, the frequent moving that the families face. Perhaps right now when we think about Iraq, the fear of death and injury is the biggest one at the present time, but they vary depending where the parents are and what the children are doing and their ages.
How do the family dynamics differ from career military families to people who are in the reserves or recently deployed troops?
Well, I think the difference being that in a career military family, I think that everyone in the family may go into it more with open eyes. You're aware of what is expected from your family. You understand the moving. You're given a great deal of information about that lifestyle, support systems, hospitals, how the system works. When you're dealing with Reserve or National Guard, they may have had a civilian career outside of what they're doing now. So what happens is they've been thrown into a completely different scenario, and often their whole life can be changed. You could go from a 9-to-5 job in the civilian world to all of a sudden you're doing shift work in your military job, and your family has to adjust to the idea of you're no longer home after 5, you're now going to work at midnight. It changes the whole dynamic of a family that way, too.
I think the lack of knowledge that the Reserves and National Guard have is very detrimental to their adjusting to the Army life. We have our own language in the Army. Do you know how to read an LES? Do you participate in TRICARE? National Guard and Reservists have no idea what these are, so the family is thoroughly confused by what is happening to them.
Are there any kinds of training programs that are available when somebody gets thrown from civilian life into active service as part of the National Guard?
The family support groups, which are mandated for each unit, certainly help out. But the Reservists and National Guard are so widely dispersed that not everyone has a chance to participate in the family support group. The internet is a big help. Army.mil, and I would assume for other services, they can get lots of information. But it's an entirely different lifestyle. So it's very difficult to learn it all at once. And some of these things happen all at once. I know my daughter was in the National Guard, and on 9/11, she was immediately activated to leave. Well, there she was with a house, with two cars, with three cats. What do you do with all this all at once? You know, if you're active duty military, the system is set up for you. You have a place to go. You know what you're going to do. But being thrown out into this type of situation is very difficult.
Also, when you're active duty, you may get caught off guard by this as well. Yeah, you're supposed to have a plan. Who will take care of your children if you deploy? Who will take care of your home while you deploy? Sometimes when you find out you're going to deploy, those people aren't available to you. So you have to rethink your entire plan, and that can catch you off guard as well. And also, sometimes people don't even think that these plans will really be used. You make the plan. The commander says, okay, you've got a plan. And then you don't think that you're going to actually have to use it. But now, the way things are now, you're going to use your plan. So I think that family support systems and also Military OneSource is another online resource for military families that they help provide some of those guides on how to make those plans for your family, things to look out for as you're trying to figure out who's going to maintain your home or your children while you're deployed.
What's the role of the non-military spouse, and what happens if both spouses are military? There seems to be so much that has to be dealt with.
The non-military spouse basically takes over the job that her spouse held within the family. And I'll use the wife as the example of the non-military. That was the traditional way of doing things. You learn to pay the insurance. You learn to pay the bills. You learn to mow the grass. You learn to plow the snow. You have to take out the garbage. You take on the entire role that your other spouse had. And in addition, you have the need to comfort your family and to keep them going. When both parents are deployed, you run into very tricky situations. As was said, the plan that you may have thought would work may not be so easy to implement. You may say, my parents are going to take the children, but the children may have only seen their grandparents once a year because they've been in Korea and the parents are back in the States. What a frightening situation for the children to be in. I remember one example from a research project I was doing. This mother had arrived in Germany with her two children, had only been there 6 weeks, and was given orders to deploy. She knew no neighbors. She knew no one in the unit to speak of. And yet, here she was with two children that she had to do something with because she had to leave. This is the epitome of an emergency situation for a parent.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on military parenting.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, the Popular Voters Guide by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Deborah Renner and Dr. Doris Durand about parenting in a military family.
Are there ways that parents that might face that kind of circumstance should be preparing their children from the get-go?
Sure. With our family, my husband's active duty military, and during the Kosovo crisis, I had to prepare my son. I knew that he was going to be deploying, and my son was four. And so, yes, there are ways that you can start preparing your kids. One way is we've always been honest with our children that our life is somewhat dictated by daddy's job and what daddy's commander needs of him and what the Air Force may need of him. And we're going to have to be flexible. We're going to have a sense of humor. And we've tried to put things into place that will make our, you know, all of us, I think, in the situation where you're looking at your child possibly having an experience that's not going to necessarily be one they're going to remember and think back on, oh, this was wonderful that, you know, mom or dad wasn't here for all of these different occasions. Emphasizing what the positive aspects of some of it, you know, we're going to learn how to be a little bit more independent. We're going to learn a little bit more about what we can do when dad or mom isn't here. Like, we'll do other things. We'll find other activities that we can tell them about. It'll be very exciting to be able to tell Daddy that we're doing these things. I think that when you're looking at children, it's important to let them know that just because one parent is gone, that the other parent, you know, is still going to be able to be capable of taking care of them.
In most cases.
Yeah. But also when you're looking at both people deploying, that is extremely difficult and rough on kids. It really is. I think also emphasizing the way you're going to keep in contact while that parent is gone is important. Now they've got email and there is video cameras attached to computers and webcams and blogs and all of these other things that existed. Now exist. When I was doing this at first, there was none of this. You know, one of my friends, her husband was on a submarine, and when he deployed, there was nothing. You could only hear from him when he was in a port. Other than that, nothing. So he arranged with a florist and with a few other places to have deliveries made in his absence to his children, to have cards sent. He left a whole bunch of cards with his wife so she could mail them to the kids that he had written. So there are some things that you can try and do to mitigate the, you know, the traumatic feeling that a child or the fact that they're going to miss that parent, and also letting them know that it's normal. It's normal to miss them. It's normal to worry, all of these things. Another thing is to make sure that, as tempting as it is to watch all of the news and see what's going on, sometimes it's too much for kids. They can't put it in context. They're not sure if it's a situation that's happened yesterday, it's happening tomorrow, it's going to happen again. So shut off the news as much as you can, or wait till the kids are asleep to watch it. We used to do DAD TV when my husband was gone. What that meant is before he left, we would have him read some bedtime stories, and we videotaped him. And you could also audiotape bedtime stories. And that way your kids can see and hear the person who is gone as well. And that keeps that connection too. And that's important. And also making those tapes for the person who's deployed as well, doing it the other way around. You know, now that we can scan images and fax things, we should take advantage of those types of office equipment. Find a friend. Ask the Family Support Center if you can come in and do that too.
Are there also situations where the kids are proud that their parents are in the military and they get some way of reinforcing that at school or some other way?
I think this would most likely happen when the children are part of a military school system. They're all in the same boat. I think it's more difficult. Well, at least I found with my own grandchildren, it's very difficult in civilian schools sometimes to be military children. So they don't have that same feeling of being proud, et cetera. They're members of the out-group.
Well, I think it also depends on geographically where you're located, because I think that's true for areas that don't feed into a military base or have a military presence. But certainly in areas where there are military bases located and there are off-base schools, I think that those schools do make an effort to try and be inclusive to the military community. Also, schools that may not. Here in the D.C. area, you know, are the Veterans Day programs that some of these schools put on, they invited the fathers, the mothers of these families to come in and talk a little bit about what service they're in. Have they been deployed? What's going on in their family? And this also helps the children who don't have military people in their family to really empathize with what their schoolmates may be going through. And my son found it very, even if it wasn't his dad up there talking, he had a sense of pride of being connected to this whole idea of my dad's a hero and look at all these other heroes.
What about issues of reintegration following having been away?
This is probably the most overlooked aspect of deployments. We have found that reintegration is probably more difficult than the separation itself. I talked earlier about the roles that the spouse assumes when the soldier returns. What is it for them to do in the family? The wife or the spouse has been doing it all. So the passion that one expects sometimes turns into arguments. Sometimes it does continue, and it's very wonderful. But more likely, it is going to be a very, very difficult period for the family.
I think it would have been really helpful for me if someone had said to me, your husband will be gone for 4 months. When he comes back, you will feel like you are on your honeymoon again for 2 days. And then you will fight like cats and dogs and think to yourselves, will we ever be able to get our marriage back and our family back to where it was? And then after you hit that for a few days, everything will settle down a little bit more and you'll get back into, you know, what you were before a little bit. It's always going to be a little bit different. Everyone's had different experiences during that deployment period. But I think an important thing to remember is that if that period of fighting lasts a really long time, if you find that you're becoming depressed or the person who's come back is depressed, is that you get help. That's the big thing. And I think that's the big push right now that is being made through a lot of the military support systems, is trying to identify if there's post-traumatic stress, if there's problems with the kids. You know, sometimes if you come back and you are a daddy who was walking, and you come back and you're no longer the daddy who can run around and throw ball because you've been injured, or if you're the mom who was always really perky and all of a sudden you're really barely being able to get out of bed because you're just overcome with everything you missed while you were deployed, it's a problem for the families, and they need help and they need that support, and that's part of the integration problem. And I think that's also an important point when you're talking about reservists and National Guard, because they're not going to be returning to a military environment when they go back to work. They're going to be going back into civilian life, most likely, with all of those stresses of having experienced what they did while they were activated. And that's also extremely important that those people understand the stresses than what could possibly happen to their family when they reenter civilian life. It's like a double whammy. You're not just coming back to your military career outside of deployment. You're now going back to your civilian life that was pre-deployment status.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on military parenting.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Deborah Renner and Dr. Doris Durand about parenting in a military family.
What about children in this whole thing? Is there anything that can be done for children in a preparation kind of way? I mean, we know that it's a hard thing when the family gets back together and there are all these different dynamics we're talking about. But the kids, daddy's home or mommy's home. That sounds pretty good. And then they get hit with all this other stuff.
And sometimes they're teenagers.
It's very age dependent how one would react with their children. The younger ones sometimes are more difficult. I remember when my husband came back from Vietnam and my daughter was in our bedroom in her crib. She woke up the morning and looked at her father and said, "Go, man, go." This was a stranger in our house, and she wanted him there. And it took months for her to fully integrate him into the role of her father.
Oh, my.
And teenagers, I think you can talk to a little bit better than you can the babies, but they have so many stresses just being teenagers. Mm-hmm. And then to put the lack of parent on top of that, it is very, very difficult for them. But talking to them, keeping the channels open, making them realize that they're loved and that the parent who is deployed, who might be making life difficult, is also very loved. The caring and the loving goes a long way to making the situation better.
Well, I think also when you're looking at babies, of course, there's not really much you can do to prepare a baby, but you can prepare the parent or person who's going to be taking care of that baby by making sure that that person has someone to talk to when they're stressed out, that they understand that they're going to have more responsibility and what those responsibilities will be. And if you have, a two-parent family that's working together, as much conversation as possible between those two parents about what they're going to be looking at as much as possible. Sometimes you can't share anything. I remember my husband saying to me, I'm leaving tomorrow and it's classified. I can't tell you where I'm going. I'll be back maybe in 3 days, maybe 3 weeks. I don't know. And I would sit there and go, oh, okay. And then I'd look at my 6-year-old son and think, okay, what part of that are we going to be telling him? The part where daddy's going for 3 days, but it could be longer? Or are we just going to say daddy's going for 3 weeks, and then if he comes back early, hey, that's great? How will we do that? So basically it came down to my husband and me talking about it and figuring out with his personality what would work for this child. Because that's the other thing, is your children may not have the same reaction to what's going on in your family. One child may not even look like it bothers them that the mom or dad isn't there. That may be their way of coping, just ignoring the whole thing. And another child could just be like the anecdote that you read, completely sobbing and upset. So also understanding your children's reaction to stress is pretty important when preparing them for something different.
What are some creative ways that military kids adapt themselves to their lifestyles?
I know in our family we try to emphasize the flexibility and sense of humor part, that you try to look at it as much as you can about being flexible and having a sense of humor. A lot of military kids just pop right into the middle of a group, say, hey, I'm here, and try to make friends that way. There are a lot of kids who are put into different communities very quickly, and they have to make ties very quickly. So a lot of kids, if they're active in a sport or music or theater or drama, that's one of the reasons why in military families, getting your kids into some sort of grouping is helpful when you're going to be moving from place to place, because that helps the kids find like-minded children or ease into things a little bit easier.
When kids know or get used to moving a lot, do you think that they hold back from making close ties with other people because they're going to get yanked out of that community soon and have to start again?
It depends on the kid. Again, it comes with personality. I think there are some children who will isolate themselves a little bit more. They may move into a community where everyone else has known each other from day one in kindergarten, and they're coming in at seventh grade and nobody wants a thing to do with them because they're viewed as, oh, that's the temporary friend. And so I think that military kids learn to be either very resilient, or they tend to also sometimes act out. And if they act out, that causes another stressor on the parent when you're dealing with the military lifestyle. So it's one of those things that you look at your kids and their personalities, and it's important as a parent to keep tabs on how your kids are making friends. Are they adjusting, and are they feeling comfortable where you've just been planted?
I noticed the difficulty arising around junior high school when they would form these deep friendships and suddenly have to let them go when they moved. And it's very difficult to lose a good friend. It's almost the same as losing a parent in a way. And they may get other new friends, but they always miss the ones that they had before who are no longer with them. But it's kind of fun, as she said, when they match up later on at a different Army post or a different life situation.
And, of course, nowadays with email and all that kind of stuff, they can keep in touch more frequently.
Absolutely. I think that in itself has been a huge boon to military families, the ability to be able to email your friends, instant message your friends, and also always demonstrated to our children that we will go back and visit. We will go see our friends. My kids see that I've kept friends from 30 years ago, and they see that we see each other. We call, we connect. So I think also when you model for your kids that these relationships matter to you and you're going to support them in continuing them, I think that helps too.
What resources would you suggest for our listeners who want to pursue further some of the issues we've touched on in this short time?
A lot of issues.
Yes, it is.
I have a list of resources that I've kind of pulled together. One of the sources that I recommend is Military One Source, O-N-E, Military One Source, because I think humor is such an important part of getting through military life. A cartoon site is called JennySpouse.com, J-E-N-N-Y, Spouse.com. Another one is the National Military Family Association. They have a lot of information on their website about different programs in different communities. And I think it's very helpful as well for families who are National Guard or Reserve, too. That's one of the other ways that National Guard and Reserve families can link up with the different support services for their specific area is by going online and checking. Military Homefront is militaryhomefront.dod.mil. We have information on our website, parentopia.net for parents, as well as 0to3.org. They have a military projects component for expectant toddler parents.
Recently, there was a 4-volume series put out by Prager called Military Life, The Psychology of Serving in Peace and Combat. There's one volume particularly that deals with a military family.
And I think a very good PhD sociologist has a chapter in there, am I correct?
Yes.
So she does.
It's called Army Wife, Army Mother.
This is obviously only the surface of a very, very pervasive issue, particularly in our era right now. But Dr. Doris Duran and Deborah Renner, thank you both so much for being with us. Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of Mommy Guilt. Learn to Worry Less, Focus on What Matters Most, and Raise Happier Kids by Deborah Renner, Aviva Flock, and Julie Bort. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and please spell anything that's not obvious. Mention show number 314 and tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to. Our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice, podcast. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.